So guys, we are reminded constantly, what is the mission of the church that God's called us to? It's that those who don't know Jesus Christ might receive Jesus Christ and they might live a new life. How many of y'all understand that's why we're in here today worshiping? So part of that is that the vibration of our worship might declare God's reality in this world. So I am more than excited to talk to you today. And I want to give you some things. First, I want to start here. You are needed. You are needed in this mission. You are needed. Now, we're going to do something today since we have the media now has told us that we have an epidemic of the flu. So just bump each other today, okay? We're not going to shake hands and hug and all that stuff. I don't know if we have an epidemic of the flu or not. When I was a kid, people just got sick. Now everything's a crisis. But it's winter, and you get colds and sniffles and those kind of things, but we're supposed to be having this flu epidemic. I pray. I want you to look at this. I looked at the map of the flu. How many of y'all have seen the map of the flu? It's out there. Map of the flu's out there. And now we do flu tracking. We didn't have flu tracking when I was a kid. We do flu tracking. Dream with me for a minute. I saw the map of the flu, and I said, you know, they said it was an epidemic. J.D., it was an epidemic. You've probably been handing out Tamiflu all week, haven't you, as a pharmacist? And I want you to envision this. What if the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, hit epidemic proportions? Now, just think with me for a minute. What if the gospel spread like the flu? What if you became so consumed with the Holy Spirit so set you on fire that people might catch Jesus if they were around you? And they looked and they said, don't touch Jack Fulgham, you'll get saved. Don't get near Freddie Hampton, you're going to hear the good news. Hold on, did you realize that truly is God's plan? That we would be so filled with grace, we would be so filled with the Spirit. Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I want you to know that the early disciples were so filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were so filled with the good news. They were so understanding that God had changed them so dramatically that they said crazy things like this. Silver or gold I have not, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Now, what we've done with that in modern times, we've said, well, that was for biblical times. See, here's what we do in modern scholarship. If we haven't seen it happen with our eyes, then we cancel it to history, which I think is, first of all, I think it's poor academics. Second of all, I think it's not very intelligent. And third of all, here's what I want to know. How do you sing and proclaim an almighty God and then tell that almighty God what he can and cannot do through his people? Here's the good news I have every day. God is not limited to our reality. Write it down. God is not limited to our reality. I love it. God doesn't care what the Congress says. God doesn't care what the kings say. God doesn't care what we study. God is not determined by us, but oh, let me preach a minute. We will be determined by him. And we have forgotten that. There's a big difference in confessing the sovereignty of God and actually following the sovereignty of God. It's easy to say, I believe in a sovereign God, and then try to tell him what he needs to do, instead of saying, here I am, O God of the universe. Here I am, O God of the universe. Send me. Use me. Well, I want to take you to the Gospel of Mark. I want you to know you're invited into this story. How many of you are glad to know that God invited everybody to the story? You say, well, how come everybody doesn't follow? Not everybody says yes. Not everybody will repent of their sins, but guess what? You are invited to the story. So, Billy Lowe, you know, really when we get to heaven, those who are in hell refused to receive the good news, the gospel, the message of Christ. But I think that we better be really, if you really care about people, you know what? You'd share Jesus. Does that make sense? How many of you all, I know, Harlan, I want to thank God for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to tell you, thank you. You went to a buddy of yours that you cared about a lot for a long time in your life. Okay? You had heard the gospel enough. We didn't have to have you trained. It was in you. Did you notice that? And you told him about Jesus, and he received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, didn't he? Now, he's a lot of like my buddies. He got right under the wire. He was in the hospital, received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because Harlan cared enough about him as his friend to go share the greatest message of all to him. And guess what? He died like 5 or 6 days later, didn't he? Oh, he's still alive. Good, let's not kill him yet. He's still alive, thank God. Maybe God healed him, I don't know. How many of y'all have ever had one of those on the wire deals? Hey, I've shared the gospel with somebody and 2 weeks later, they needed the gospel. Mark and I had the privilege a few years ago of baptizing an 85-year-old man. Remember that, Mark? Now, here's what I want to encourage you all. Please don't wait that long. That is really hanging it out there thin. You know what I'm talking about? We baptized him, and 3 or 4 months later, then he went on to heaven. But praise God, he received Jesus Christ. And everybody I know that's received Jesus Christ later on in life, guess what they said? They said, I have one major regret. I wish I had surrendered a lot earlier in my life. So you have the opportunity today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, to come into Jesus Christ. I want you to hear that. God wants you to know him. God wants you to know him. And Keith talked about the vibration of Hillview Heights Church over the years. Well, one of those vibrations is we believe that God wants you to be saved. Okay, here in this church, that's what we believe, okay? So just don't, if you're trying to figure out who's saved and not, you just keep that to yourself because I'm not interested. Because here's what I know. First of all, you'll never determine that. Second of all, you'll use some behavior modification grid to determine it. And here's what I've noticed about those who think they're special. It's always their grid that's used for evaluation. You know, I've never met anybody that thinks they're not saved. Have you noticed that? They're always saved and you're not. And secondly, I want you to see that's not the biblical concept. You can't be a biblical follower and run around and have that as your main thrust. Your main thrust as a biblical follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is that they may hear the good news. So here's what I want you to know. In you is the good news if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. How many of y'all glad to know that? You got good news in you. You say, Pastor Steve, you don't nail me. I'm a gripe and I'm a grump and I fuss all the time. I didn't say you practiced it. I said it was in you. It was in you. There is good news in you. How many of you glad? You got to start there. You got to have some good news in you before you can share what? Good news. Now, let me point this out to you, church. What if you shared who was in you more than you shared what you thought about? See, I hear this a lot. We live in Kentucky together. Y'all hear this a lot? Well, I think. How many of y'all hear that during the week? Well, I think we ought to. That we're in Kentucky. I think we ought to. How many of y'all have ever heard, I think we ought to? And then there's another side, I think we ought to not. And then you got conflict, huh? How many times? Tell me now that you have moved into management. How many times during your work week have you heard, I think we ought to? It's tons. And then, of course, we've got, you know, a lot of us in here, you know, we grew up in all this touchy-feely jazz. How's that working now? Boy, that's been a great experiment for 50 years. That's turning out real productive, isn't it? Worried about your self-esteem. And all we've done is created a group of inflated people that can do nothing and think they're doing something. Shameful. Because what? We left the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Good news is not caused by me. Can you live with that? I'm not the good news. I hate to disappoint you. I know some of y'all are going to be heartbroken right now. You're not either. So I want you to see this at the first part of the Gospel of Mark. The good news is Jesus, and he's a lot more humble than some of us. What do you think about that? He is the good news. If he shares himself, he's done a good job. Amen? And guess what? I'm not the good news. You're not either. Hayes, you're not the good news. I mean, you're all right, but you can get the flu. Angela, I mean, you got some good news, but you're not the good news. Watch this. Hillview Heights Church, soon to be Reverend Dr. Reynolds, is not the good news. This church is not the good news. But it's who runs this church, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's the good news. Amen? That's what I love about working here. I'm not in charge. Jesus is in charge. In fact, some of you pastors in here, and sometimes we have visiting pastors in here, the greatest thing that changed my ministry was right here at Hillview Heights Church, March the 10th, 1991. I came in here trained, and so I decided to leave my training. And I looked, when I stepped into this pulpit, I knew that I could do nothing to change this situation. There's no way. There were no tricks, no ministry deals, no Sunday school class. Donna, we couldn't go down to Nashville and buy a box, how to raise a dead church. They didn't have that box on the shelf down there at Lifeway. And I said, "Dear Lord, I cannot do this." He said, "Good, I can. And so you follow me." Now, I want to start there today. If we're going to accomplish the vision, it starts with you follow me. I want to show you, it all started with you follow me. Not, Jesus didn't, well, let me just tell you what he did. First of all, he came out of the wilderness. He's been tempted. Gospel of Mark goes real quick. It's highlighted. And the John the Baptist, who's been doing what? He's been telling people that the good news was coming, Bob. He had him a sign out there by the Jordan River. Come and repent. Repent of your sins and follow Jesus. Repent and know Jesus. John the Baptist, Reverend Britt, how did he appear to the culture of his time? Weird. People that follow God sometimes appear weird. A lot of you will not share the gospel because you don't want to be out of culture. You don't want somebody to say what? Oh, they're unusual. You know, you get around them, they talk about this following of Jesus, and we're not into that. And then what is, paramount in our culture today? If you're going to fit in the groove, what must you not do no matter where you are? Come on, y'all know. I mean, if you're going to be healthy today, you do what? Offend no one. Do you know what you got to do to not offend anybody? Become a professional liar. In fact, if you're going to be politically correct, you have to perfect lying. How many of y'all have noticed some stuff just doesn't work? You just have to lie. That's what political correctness is, sophisticated lying. Is that too harsh? I see some of you squirming a little bit. Like, well, I think it makes people feel better because you think you're the good news and you're not the good news. The good news is Jesus Christ, not what I say, but who he is. See the difference? And you know what? Political correctness says you're all right no matter what you do. The gospel says you're a sinner headed to hell in need of grace. Those are two different worlds, amen? The gospel of God says your self-esteem won't get you to heaven. The philosophy of this world says if you feel good, then it must be good. And guess what we're finding by that philosophy every day? We're finding it by that philosophy. I mean, it's comical to me how people will not open their eyes and just admit it hadn't worked. But we'll spend more time trying to prove that it's working when it's not working than just say, it's not working. Now, Jesus knew this. This is why he said this, his first words. Very interesting first words when Jesus launches his ministry. He gets out of the wilderness. He's been tempted. By the way, Jesus went through tough times. Satan tried to mess with Jesus. He's come through the tempting. So when you have those moments in your life that you have turmoil and you have difficulty and you have pressure on, God may be getting ready to use you in a big way, church. Hillview Heights has been through some storms, amen? And guess what? Let me give you some good news. We'll go through some more. But are we going to trust Jesus to bring us through in our lives? Look what happens. Verse 14, chapter 1, Gospel of Mark. After John was put in prison, John the Baptist was what? He was put in prison. Why was he put in prison? He was put in prison for the message that he carried. The government, the political powers of that time, a king, King Herod, didn't like what John the Baptist said. You all remember the story. John the Baptist was put in prison, and eventually John the Baptist was beheaded. Why was he beheaded? Because king had a political obligation. You remember? The daughter of the queen danced, and he enjoyed it, and he said, "I'll give you anything you want." And she said, "I want the head of John the Baptist." Okay, watch this. I just want you to know, all this stuff's been going on forever. All this stuff that you see that you get alarmed about, how long's it been going on? Forever. So don't get so alarmed that it's going on. But I tell you what, you ought to get committed to the good news that goes through the sin of humankind. So John the Baptist is in prison. Jesus' voice. Watch this. When the world tries to shut, notice this observation. When the world tries to shut one voice down, another voice will raise up for God. Have you noticed you can never shut it down? And this frustrates the world. This frustrates the counter to the gospel because they are so committed to shutting the voice of God up. It amazes me. I had an atheist friend of mine, and I get tickled at him. I ask him, I don't understand why atheists, with all their knowledge, with all their intellect, with all their high-powered degrees, are scared of plastic baby Jesuses. I don't understand why this terrifies them so much when they don't believe it exists anyway. You see, their illogical argument. They just have an illogical argument. I say, I don't know why you guys get so torqued up. If you don't believe it exists, then why? I'm just praying to a plastic baby Jesus. Don't be alarmed. And then you say, you're people of freedom, so why don't you give me the freedom to pray to my fake plastic Jesus? Why does that name interrupt you so much? Why does it cause your dandruff to fly? Watch this. They flew a flag up in New York, the atheist group did, that Jesus was a myth. And guess what? Didn't bother me at all. I didn't protest one thing. They had the freedom to do that. Say it all day long. It doesn't bother me. Why? Bill Maher doesn't bother me. Bill Maher doesn't bother me because guess what I know? One day he's going to look square in the eyes of God Almighty and then let his rap run. All these people that are on the edge of the church talking about how there's no hell, there's no reality, trying to get their own crew together, they don't worry me because guess what I know? One day they got to look in the eyes of Jesus Christ. And whether they believe the book or not, I know the book is true. And guess what the book said? Every knee will bow. Not some of the knees will bow. Every knee will bow and confess that he's who? Lord. I'm telling you, church, I want to wake you up to the power that's in you. His name is Jesus. And he's called you to be a part of his story. Now, he didn't call you to sit and watch. He called you to follow. The gospel engages us into eternal life. And that starts now, not later. Does that make sense? Right now, you're important. So he gets out of prison. John does not get out of prison. He gets arrested. Jesus gets released. The gospel goes on. I just want you to know you're not going to shut Jesus up. Go read history. People have been trying to shut the gospel up since it started. Nobody shut it up. Started with Herod. Herod went and killed 2-year-olds trying to get Jesus right off the bat. He missed. So I just want you to know people have been killing babies for a long time. You know why? They're evil. What gets me now is we're trying to make people that kill babies good. And here's what I want you to know. You can twist it. You can manipulate it. If you can twist it, manipulate it, and get there, I pray that you will be saved. Because you can't. Hold on. I want to show you the gospel. You can't make death work when you're full of life. Because God is always calling things to life. Sin is always killing things. Now know the tension. So Jesus is going to a world of death to bring life. Isn't that what really the good news is? Y'all are dead and I want to bring you to life. Isn't that really the good news? Jesus said in John 10:10, I've not come to make bad people good. He said, I've come to make dead people alive. Isn't that what he said? I've come to bring you what? Life! Not goodness, not behavior modification, not a new moral code. I've come to bring you to a full and abundant life. And I think a lot of times we miss that. God's called us to live. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming what? The good news of God. The good news of God. How many of y'all know what the good news of God is? How many of y'all got the good news of God in you? Okay, what is it? Where does it start? Come on, we're working. It's January. Where does it start? Where's the good news start? Here, I'm going to be real simple here. God's got a plan. What's God's plan? I'm going to spit it out to me. How many of y'all believe God created you? God made you. You didn't make yourself. God made you. Okay, if you believe that, it starts there. Hold on. Where did the world with its philosophy start to take people away from the gospel? That there wasn't a God that created. See, because if there's not a God that's created, then you're not a sinner, then you don't need a Savior. See how that works? Started a long time ago, long before any of us were here. Long before even evolution hit modern, it started, hey, well, there's really not a creator. You're on your own. It's all about you. How many of those messages come screaming across our minds during the week? It's all about you. It's what you want to do. It's how you feel. Are you happy? Lord, we have sucked happy for 4 decades that I know of. Everything in life, are you happy? Sometimes you're not happy. Jesus did not go proclaiming the good news of happiness. He didn't say, I've come so that you will be personally happy. He said, I've come that you might be brought to what? Life. Good news. This would be a good bumper sticker. Good news is better than happy. Come on. Happy is a multi-billion dollar business. Happy. Because I hear it all now. Well, Pastor Dave, we just can't be married. We're not happy. You're married. You gave that up at the altar. I mean, if you want to be by yourself, stay single and do your own thing. When you get married, you got to do what she tells you to do. Then if you decided to have children, guess what? You've just brought every child you bring into your house. I know they're wonderful, they're nice, but that's another problem you've added to your mix. True or false? How many of y'all know? It's another situation. Woosley, y'all have added four of them together. Y'all must have liked it. But every one of them, all these beautiful children, aren't they uniquely different? Although they look beautiful, I bet they got some issues too, don't they? They bring in the house. Yeah, they're humans. And we work this out together, but guess what? The good news goes through all of that and says, guess what? I want to bring you all to eternal life. Somebody tracking today? You understanding what I'm saying today? The good news has got to be heard in this world. Let me give you a quick way to get to the good news. Plan. God wants to be with us. Think of all the scripture that you've learned in Bible study. And if you haven't learned a lot of scripture, that's a good word to say, you know what? I might need to get to Bible study in this new year. God created us. God connected us. God wants to be with us. God has a desire. He has a plan. He wants to be with us. I don't know about you all, but I am delighted to follow a God that is into what he created. God didn't create us and leave us when we messed up. God loves us and he wants to be with us. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. Fainter, God loves us. And he's got a whole history that shows that he loves us. I mean, he started us out naked in the garden. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. No lawnmowers in the garden. Everything worked together. Isn't that cool? We just out there naked, chilling, drinking coconut drinks, having a big time, living in God. God's talking, we're communing with God. And there's one condition in the garden, don't touch the tree. No, he didn't say don't touch it. He said don't what? Eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. And he might as well told a bunch of two-year-olds, don't touch that. How many of y'all realize as soon as you say don't touch it, they got to be curious? I never will forget the night we were camping. Blake was 2 years old, 2 and a half. We're out skiing and on our annual Del Hollow trip, we're all camping out of the campground, so we didn't build a fire because of the hot, but we set a lantern where the campfire would have been, pumped up that Coleman lantern, you know, old Coleman lantern, not an LED lantern. This thing burning white gas, man. It's hot. We tell Blake, do not touch that. You know, he looked like his mama, just, you know. So then he got this. Y'all remember those toys? Now, this is ancient times. I mean, Blake's even old enough. Chase, you had a little ancient time. You didn't have a digital toy when you were two, did you? Not when you were two. Well, they had these little corn popper things Fisher Price made. It had two wheels on it, a little bubble on it, and it would pop little balls up in it. You know, I mean, that's entertaining for a two-year-old, okay? I know now two-year-olds are looking up from the Library of Congress what they believe, okay? But I'm talking about back then, two-year-olds were entertained by taking this little thing with two wheels, and it just popped up balls. Well, here's what he started doing. Start going around that campfire. You know, and he's talking to everybody. He's acting cute. And everybody going, you know, paying him attention. But nobody else was paying attention. And he was tracking in each time he came around, tracking in a little closer. And then guess what? Y'all know what he does. Lays that hand on top of that lantern. I mean, you smell skin smoking. And there is a bloody scream. And you see flashlights coming on all through the campground. They thought somebody had been murdered. He had to touch it. It amazes me. I was sitting there, right there in front of him, sitting there, told him not to touch it. And guess what? As I am in his presence, the one who told him not to touch it, he touches it. You know what his mama does? Oh, we'll get some aloe. You know what I did? Shouldn't have touched it. See, I wouldn't have been a good God. I'd have been an awful God. Your hand ought to be smoking. Told you not to touch it in the first place. We see Elizabeth acted like good news. Elizabeth acted like Jesus Christ. I acted like, well, several things could describe it. But I did not act like God. Elizabeth acted like God. She picked him up even after he touched it. Even after he did what he was told not to do. and she still wanted to be with him. You know what I'm saying? Even after we touched it, even after we ate from the tree, God still wanted to be with us. God calls his people. We see that through Israel. God calls Israel, and they wrestle with God. That's what the word means. And they act just like us. You know, I hear people, they'll read the First Testament, and they'll go, oh, I can't believe those people act like that. Really? Come pastor with me a week. We got the same setup. People hear the good news, walk away from it. People been in the good news for a while, walk away from it. Wasn't that the problem with Israel? They listened to God for a while, and then they decided to do it their own way. How many of you all have had that experience at least once or twice in your life? You know, I'm going to do what God wants me to do for a little while, and once everything gets good, then I'm going to start helping God. How many of y'all have helped God? Isn't that the story of the disciples? God wants to be with us. That's the plan. We got a problem. We sin. Sin is the problem. We're not bad people. We're sinful people. And it's time, especially some of you young people that I love dearly and want you to have full and abundant lives, I want you to hear the truth. There is sin in the world. It's not a medical problem. It's not a genetic problem. It's not an environmental problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's called sin, and it's deadly, and you die when you're in sin. It's sin. Now, let me tell you, CBS ain't going to tell you that. ABC ain't going to tell you that. Your university won't tell you that. But your pastor's going to tell you that. So when you stand before Jesus and he asks you, did you know there was sin? Well, Lord, I lived in an environment where they didn't have sin. He's going to say, wrong. Pastor Ayers told you you had a problem. You were a sinner. Now, here's the problem. Sin, we got to get to sin because, you see, here's the problem with sin. Sin can't be solved by us. That's why we got all these sin benders in the world today. Well, that's really not sin. That's not sin. That's just... Your mama caused you to have that. Your daddy caused you to have that. You just naturally made that way. You're naturally born into sin. You have a condition called sin, and it's killed you, and that's a problem, but it's a problem that only Jesus can solve. It's not three prayers and call me in the morning. That won't solve it. And Jesus became the provision. Remember? The provision that solves what? The problem. He died on the cross. He's risen from the grave. And guess what? We got to do something that Jesus calls us to. It's a big R. If you remember those three P's in an R, you can tell anybody the gospel. God has a plan. He wants to be with us. Man has a problem. We sin all the time. We are sinful. Not just sinners. We are full of sin. Big S, big I, big N. And since we're full of big S, big I, big N, then we participate in a lot of sins, plural. See, what most preachers want to do is preach against sins. That's not what Jesus came and preached against. He preached against sin. See, you pull the big taproot out, it'll take care of the little fruits on the side. What we've been doing in the church for a long time, we go get a little fruit we like to attack, literally. Like just, you know, we like to cut off weeds. I don't know about y'all, when I don't like pulling weeds. How many of y'all like pulling weeds? I don't like pulling weeds. We got this thing at our house in the middle of the house, and it gets weeds in it. So I got one of my friends who knew what he was doing. He got me some high-powered gospel chemical. See, I don't have weeds anymore because I put this stuff on them. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's legal or not. I just know it works. I don't care. I just spray it. I got a hazmat mask on and everything else. I tell my neighbors to go in their house for 3 days. No, it's not that bad. 2 days. And I spray this stuff out there, and the next morning, guess what everything is in that bed? Dead. Including a couple of your flowers, honey. I'm sorry. That's what happened to them. I wasn't paying attention. I went over top of one of Elizabeth's flowers, and I went, I bet that's going to be dead in the morning. And it was dead. Now, hold on. Jesus kills sin. That's the good news. I want y'all to know your sin is dead. And that's what it means for every believer in here. You have to choose to go get sin. Sin is not natural to you anymore. How many of y'all knows when you get ready to go do something stupid like you used to do, boom, something goes off inside of you? How many of y'all got that situation? How many of y'all have something? It almost sounds like a little voice inside of you. Hey, I wouldn't go do that. Y'all ever heard that guy? Or you girls going, honey, that's not right. Have y'all, see what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit takes form so that we might understand we don't have to go there anymore because that's dead. See, the good news is we've been brought to life, so we're naturally drawn to things that cause us to what? To live. It's the beauty of the gospel. Let me show you what Jesus did. We're going to get out of here. He calls us to be the good news with him. The time is come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the what? How many of y'all need to repent and believe the good news? See, I think the church needs to believe the good news. Reverend Britt, you've been at this a little bit longer now. You preached a long time ago. After you and Noah got off that boat and you started preaching, calling the world of repentance, and you know, you did all that good stuff. But Jim, here's what I see, brother. Here's what I see, my brother. Reverend, I see us preaching more of our situation and less of the gospel. That's the observation I made. Now, the old preachers, they talked about the gospel. Marley, when you was a little kid, it didn't matter what church you was in. Church of Christ, Methodist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, you was going to hear about an old rugged cross and a resurrection and a repentance of sin and good news, and they held that big leather book, and that preacher could care less if you was mad, indifferent or not. The gospel was coming through. I tell you, it may be old-fashioned, but I think we need to bring it back again. What do you think? We need to bring it back again. No fear. Some of y'all wonder, well, Pastor Steve, you awful. I'm not bold. I'm just truthful. It's the truth. The good news is truth. Truth will set you free. Truth will set you free. All this nonsense we're breathing in. Let me tell you what. If I was to go to some of these Christian bookstores, half them books need to be burned. A bunch of nonsense. Everybody trying to bend God into their image. Trying to bend God into their image. Jesus never wrote a book on how to have a successful business in my way. That wasn't his business. His business isn't to make money. His business is good news. It's good news. You see, we've been trying to bend Jesus to our image. That's not the gospel. Thank God it's not. The gospel is Jesus comes into us, forgives us of all of our sins, and we get bent into his image. Amen? Slowly but surely, we're becoming more like who? Yeah. How many of y'all sin less than you used to? Freddie, you sin less than you used to? Are you done yet? But you're less, right? How many of y'all got less going on? Elizabeth, what about me? Am I less, about the same, a little more? What's going on? Give me an evaluation. Remember, I cleaned the floors last night. I'd never done that before, huh? Less! See, our goal is this, is to help each other become less of what we used to be and more of what Jesus wants us to be. Let me finish up. Y'all been more than wonderful. Look at here. Oh, man. It's just good today, isn't it? Repent and believe the good news. Repent. Greek word meaning this. You must change your mind about what you think and receive what Jesus says. That's what repentance is. Yes, in the Hebrew, the word shon was to turn around and come back. But in the Greek word is, well, you got to change your way of thinking. You got to change what you think about. You got to quit thinking you can't. And you got to start doing what? I can receive Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, become everything new. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting the net into the lake. Where were they? Where were they? Where? That's why I go to the lake. That's where Jesus was. Where was Jesus? He's at the lake. Jesus, why didn't I know? Listen, I have combed the scriptures. I can't find Jesus' office anywhere. There's not one gospel story where it said, and Jesus went into his office, and many came. Have you noticed how Jesus... Mark, we got a group of pastors in the 21st century. They all want to go in. And Jesus always went out. We got an in mentality, and Jesus had an out mentality so we might get in. But we want people in church, in ministry. And Jesus wants people to be the ministry out in the world. Chase, that's two different worlds, isn't it? It's two different concepts. See, when you're going to go be the ministry out in the world, you care about what's going on in the world. You'll go take the risk that the good news might be heard. You don't have to teach missions because you'll be them when you really let the good news get a hold of you. Check this out. They were fishermen. That's where fishermen hang out at the lake. Here's the context. Jesus went where they were because I want to end on this. Okay, I want you to get the vibe here. You and I are invited to the story so that we can invite others into the story. That's the purpose of our lives. But I want you to see what happens here. Jesus goes out into the world so that people might come into the kingdom. And if there's a soapbox that I'm on as a pastor in this moment of time, church, we got to get out and we got to tell this story so a whole lot more folk can get in to the heaven that God has created and made through Jesus Christ. Now, to do that, it comes to altar call time. Jesus walked by him and he said this, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to be fishermen of people," or out to fish for people. Now, here's what I want you to see this. Jesus is not asking you to be anybody but who he made you to be. I've always loved this passage, Jeff. I've always loved this passage because Jesus didn't look at a group of fishermen and said, "You know what? I've come to make you great theologians." He said, "I've come to take what you know how to do real well and put the good news in it so much that instead of catching fish, you'll be inviting people into the kingdom. If you're an artist, he'll teach you how to paint people into the kingdom. If you can build houses, he'll teach you how to build houses for the kingdom. Jimmy, if you're good at real estate, he'll teach you how to show real estate in the kingdom." See what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what you do. God's going to he'll teach you how to take a Harley and turn it into good news for lost folk. He'll do that. I mean, God do that. But now Jesus got to do it. I'm not taking the Harley and making it good news. Jesus is taking what I have and turning it into good news. Does everybody follow me? Because this is a key concept. Y'all give me a head nod or something. Y'all look like it's raining outside or something. Come on. Come on. Get down there with me, all right? Now, I want you to think. These are the words of Christ. This is the invitation. Jesus said this. He walked along. He looked at those fishermen. And he said, "Come follow me. I will make you fishermen of men." And guess what they did? That you got to do something before you follow. What did Jesus just say? Repent and believe in me. Part of repentance is dropping your net. Note, they didn't just follow. They dropped their nets and follow him. Now, what's hindering some of us? How many of y'all dragging your nets along the way? Y'all ever seen fishing net? Freddie has. Where's Freddie? See, I don't even go ask Scarborough about it. The only fish he's caught is the ones you had those scuba divers hook up for him so he didn't feel bad. And that was good for him. That built his ego. Thought it was a little soft, but it built his ego. Freddie, if you walk around with a bunch of fishing nets, what's going to happen? You're going to get tangled up. It's going to get tangled. How many of y'all dragging your nets around instead of dropping your nets and going and telling the good news? In fact, if we'd have had the money, and Mark didn't want to spend the money on it, and he's right. But Mark, I was thinking about buying everybody just some fishing nets to have to walk around with them for a week, but I thought that'd be too expensive, and then we'd get hurt somebody and get sued. But I bet you wouldn't want to drag a fishing net around with you all week long, would you? Then why are we? Why are we still holding on to what we think we got to have instead of totally rescinding to Jesus Christ and saying, "You know what? That's my net. And Jesus, for me to truly follow you, I got to drop that net to be drawn into you so I can preach in such a way and teach in such a way and be in such a way that others will be drawn to you." Does that make sense? I'm done. It's simple today. God's invited us into the story. You can follow him. Now, if you're not a believer today, guess what I'm going to highly recommend? You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, let's make sure you got the gospel and then get something else. Because I hear stuff like this. Kim, I hear people tell me, you've heard this, you've lived here all your life too. I hear people tell me this. "Well, I hope I go to heaven." Get saved and you don't have to hope. I don't hope I go to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. Ain't no hope to it. My hope is Jesus and heaven is my destiny. How many of y'all live like that? And you ought to look at me and say, "Man, if Jesus can save a sinner like that, I'm in." How many of y'all glad to know Jesus saves sinners? And he loves sinners. And it's not our job to point out their sin. Have y'all noticed that? It's another problem we've had in the church. We like to point out everybody's sin instead of point them to the sin healer. He who brings life into death. What is this? If you knew you were dying, you know what I'm talking about? Let's get this message where it is. If you knew, oh, great prophetic dancer. Watch this. What's God done with your dance? He's used it. You know how biblical that is? All right, we'll test, see if you've learned anything down there in that youth group. testing Andrew and Billy right here. When they crossed the Red Sea, what was their first act of worship? The dance. Miriam got out that tambourine, and she did not have Bible study. She broke a groove unto God. She danced because she was delivered. Maybe that's why the Baptist church ain't danced in about 70, 80 years. Maybe that's why they get against dancing, because they also hadn't received deliverance. I don't know about you. I've seen people that can't dance, dance when they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Freddie. I've seen him in Costa Rica. God got loose in that place in a real way. And I looked over and Freddie's hips were going to the beat of the music. Now, I've seen Freddie try to dance before. And I told Freddie, I said, Freddie, you can dance in Jesus, but outside of Jesus, don't move. Then I thought, there's a real truth in that. Outside of Jesus, I can't move. Outside of Jesus, I don't have any good news. Outside of Jesus, look what I have. And I'm going to try to quit preaching, but I just can't right now. All right? Outside of Jesus, all I am is an observation. But inside of Jesus, I get to become a part of the story. Jesus simply said this. Bob, he didn't go through a theological dissertation of those boys. He didn't go, do you know that I'm the Son of God? Do you know that I'm the foundation of the earth? Do you know that I was before you were? Do you know that as I stepped into the reality of this world, everything in the cosmos changed? Do you know that? He just said, hey, y'all come follow me. And if y'all listen to me, you've done good at fishing for fish. I'm going to teach you how to fish for folk, for people. Now follow me. You want to grow as a disciple in the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't think that'll be accomplished in a library. Nothing wrong with a library, Pat. It was for you because that's where your great witness was. But what I'm saying is, it's not all in the library. It's in the follow me. You want to become a mature believer? It's in the follow me. You really want to preach the depth and maturity of Christ? What did Jesus say? Repent and believe the kingdom is near. Now, you deeper in Jesus? Repent and believe the kingdom is near. And as you follow him, he'll add the rest. As you follow him, you'll discover who he is in you. And by the time you get close to discovering it, you'll be with him. So follow him, amen. Today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to invite you to this altar. You can get to. Here's why we want to be in this round situation or octagon situation or whatever we're in. This is to illustrate that we come from all different places, but we all come to the same place, Jesus Christ. Okay? So we got to come to Christ, and we got to say, Lord Jesus, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, will you come into my life and forgive me of my sins? What do you think he'll say? All I can tell you is this, Tony, here's all I can tell you, and I've seen it thousands of times, and I'm not even exaggerating. That's not even preacher talk. This is reality. Thousands of times I've heard human beings say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you in my life. I know I've messed up. I know I've done some bad, rotten things. And I've heard it said in many different ways. Jesus, come into my life and change me and save me. And Sarge, not one time have I heard Jesus say, no! That's how much he loves us. But I've also seen this. I've seen some arrogant, pig-headed people say, I'm not going to do what Jesus wants me to do. I'm not going to repent of my sins. I'm intelligent. I'm above all that. That's for primitive people that need a crutch in life. And I want to tell you, they'll find a sinner's hell for eternity. And I just found you ain't sophisticated when you're burning. They'd rather be popular and pleasing than proclaiming. You won't die, just be liked by this world. You won't find hell, live to please everybody. You won't have an up and down roller coaster ride, then worry about what everybody else thinks. You won't find life, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, I'm messed up. How many of y'all messed up? Look at the Ten Commandments, how many of y'all didn't pass? Me either. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. Now that doesn't mean you won't have some bops with sins along the way. But when they hit you, guess what you'll know? you've been forgiven and you can get on through there and it doesn't have to keep crushing you. That's the good news. Amen. The good news, church, we're on our way to heaven. So let's stand up. If anybody needs to receive Christ today, we know Jesus died for you, wants to live in you. So come and receive Christ. If you have not been baptized yet, why do you need to be baptized according to the message today? What does baptism proclaim? Good news. Every time you see somebody come out of the water, good news. Jesus proclaimed the what? Good news. So if you don't believe in Jesus, come receive him. Now, for those of you that are following nets, how many of y'all like Linus and still holding on to your blanket? You got some nets. It's Jesus in the nets instead of Jesus. Just Jesus. You might need to drop some nets. You might need to come up here and say, Lord, I've held on to this, whatever it is. And I know it hinders me from telling it, which is it. And I just want to drop that today. I want you to take my net. I want you to take my net. Sometimes I've had to tell the Lord this. Lord, you got to take it because I like it too much. How many of y'all can be that honest for God? I got some things in my life that weren't good. And I said, Lord, you got to take it. Man, this isn't good. And Lord, I know it's not good and I still like it. Any of y'all got some of those things? You know it's not good and you still like it. Like fussing. I still like to fuss. It's not good. It's not productive. I'm old enough to know that it never accomplishes anything. And sometimes I still do it. Less than I used to, but still none of it works. See what I'm saying? It's a net, Dave. It's a net. Drop it and follow him. Drop it and proclaim him. Make sense? All right, let's pray. Lord, bring us to this altar, but bring us to the altar in such a way that it'll send us out into this world this week in such a way that the good news will be revealed through us. Lord, we thank you that you are God, that is the kingdom, that calls us to repentance and good news. Lord, I thank you for the Hillview Heights congregation, where there are enough people believing that in this church, that your grace moves on a daily basis. I thank you for that, Jesus. I thank you that there are enough that believe. But Lord, this year, 2013, we're praying for more followers, more that would tell, more that would go, more that would give, more that would worship, more that would proclaim. And so, Lord, may you bring us to that in the name of Jesus. Hey, altar's open. It's open for baptism, salvation, net dropping. It's open. So, guys, listen. Lost people don't get saved unless you start praying for them. I want our altars to start happening at Hillview. Oh, here's one of the things we're getting. Y'all remember the days of Hillview when people used to do Pete Rose slides into the altar by the time we finished worship? Hillview, we can't get sophisticated. I know that bothers some of y'all, but listen, there's no value in that. Being sophisticated is not what God called us to. Let's pray. Let's pray at the altar together. You say, well, if I go up there, somebody will think I've done something wrong. We already know you have. Come on up. Now, listen, you're in a church, guess what? And whatever you've done wrong, we don't care because we know Jesus can change it. So that's what kind of freedom's up here. But let's pray for our family, our friends, people that hadn't been baptized, people that are yet to receive Christ, those that aren't participating. Come on, let's pray. It's by the power of prayer the church will change the world. Come on. His message, not ours. Come on.